I don't know of any better place to go to start this message or this conference than from here. For if what we read here is not correct, if it's not so, if we do not believe it, nothing else really matters. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and in verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. If you would, keep that passage in your mind, and I want to read you a quote taken from W.R. Downing's book. His book is entitled A Baptist Catechism. He wrote this: if the Bible is the very Word of God preserved in written form, and it is, then there are certain things that are necessarily true. The Bible is the inspired Word of God, not merely the work or words of men. Because the Bible is the very Word of God, it is authoritative, the very highest authority. As the very Word of God inscripturated, it is infallible, incapable of error, and without deceit. As the inspired, authoritative, infallible Word of God, it is necessarily inerrant or without error and wholly true in every aspect. Because the Bible is the very Word of God and completely trustworthy in every respect, it is sufficient as our only rule of both faith, meaning what we believe, and practice, meaning how we are to live. That ends his quote. I use that because I certainly couldn't put it in any better words than W.R. Downing did. We run into a problem sometimes when you're dealing with those who oppose the Word of God, and they have their ideas, especially as we deal in this conference with the matter of origins. And you deal with people and you talk with them, and they'll ask you invariably, what do you believe? And you'll tell them what it is that you believe, whether it's creation and any other thing that is related. Then you might be asked, why do you believe that? Your answer would be, because that's what the Bible teaches. Well, the next logical question is, how do you know the Bible's right? How do you answer that one? And you say, well, it says it's right. And then you get that argument in circles, you know. I believe the Bible. How do you know it's true? Well, the Bible says it's true. Well, it goes a little bit further than that. The matter of regeneration, the new birth, God gives faith to His people. Amen. That enables us to believe the Word of God no matter who or what may oppose it. And it is sufficient with us, without making any apologies any way whatsoever, to state what we believe and unashamedly say, I believe it because the Bible says so. Again, make no apologies for that. Never apologize for believing the Word of God. And let me just say this, since I'm the first speaker of the conference. Every preacher here is going to have their own personal opinion about some of these things. And invariably in a Bible conference, personal opinions will leak through. I mean, we're just earthen vessels, preachers are, and personal opinions sometimes come through. Be careful. Check everything by the Word of God. It does not really matter what I believe, what Brother Justice believes, what any other preacher here believes. The question we must face, what we must confront, is what saith the Scripture? Amen. What saith the Scripture is what we are looking for. And let me add this. I am not, and I'm sure you are not, we're not concerned with scientific knowledge or intellectual concepts and theories. I'm not interested in that. Some people are. I'm not. I looked up the word science, and I just want to read you what Webster said, that the word science means knowledge acquired by observation, deduction, or testing. But keep this in mind. Science is always conducted by fallible men with finite minds and finite means. And science is always changing. What was a scientific fact 100 years ago has now been proven false by modern science. And if this earth continues, what is a scientific fact in modern science will be disproved in the future. Look with me in your Bible back to 1 Timothy, if you would, and in chapter 6. In 1 Timothy and in chapter 6 and in verse 20, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so called. There's something about science, and I don't know just exactly what it is. There's something about science that seems to always be bent toward the truth of God's Word. Paul had to deal with it in his day, evidently, and it's always a problem. Verse 20 speaks of the oppositions of science, and then it's added, falsely so called. Why is it falsely so called? Because it's ever-changing knowledge. Science never remains the same. Scientific knowledge is not what it once was. It's just not reliable. It's just not trustworthy. One year you're told that something's good for you. The next year you're told, oh no, it's not good for you anymore. You know, eat all oatmeal you can this year. Next year it's peanut butter or something, you know. But it's always changing. You can't trust it. You can't rely on it. Let me tell you, as we live in this world, we have one tangible thing that we can trust, we can depend upon, and it is our Bible. And we should never, as Christian people, we should never look to science or the intellectuals of this world to substantiate or to confirm the Word of God. I'm not interested in science confirming the Word of God. They can't. They can't. And keep this in mind. Anything anyone uses to verify, substantiate the Word of God must be of a higher authority than the Word of God. Because you cannot use something equal or of lesser to substantiate anything or to validate it. You have to use something greater. And whatever you may use to validate the Word of God in your mind, that has more authority than the Word of God. Whatever you put above the Scriptures, be careful about that. I remember I've seen on several occasions, I saw just a little while back, individuals sitting with their Bible. This may offend somebody, I don't mean it to. But they were sitting with their Bible, and then they had a quarterly Sunday school book on top of the Bible. I said, that's fitting. That's pretty fitting. They got the Sunday school book on top of their Bible. You know, it ought to be the other way around. It ought to be the other way around, but that's the way people view things. All the scientific knowledge that comes out today, the archaeological digs that go on, and all of a sudden we get headlines. Here they discovered something in Egypt or somewhere or in Israel. They dug it up, and maybe that will substantiate what the Bible says. I don't care. I don't care. I remember, it's been a good many years ago now, I went to Israel. And I was looking forward to going into the empty tomb, and I don't know whether that was the same tomb that Jesus was buried in or not, but I was looking forward to going in there. And I don't know what I was expecting to feel, but I was really expecting something. I finally got the day to walk in that tomb, and I walked in there, and I was so disappointed. I didn't feel anything. Didn't feel a thing. You know, I'd heard about the empty tomb. I'd read about it. And I wanted to go in there. I wanted to see it, you know. I didn't feel a thing. And I thought about it later how foolish I was. I don't need to see an empty tomb to validate my faith in an empty tomb. And we're like that sometimes. We want something, prove it, show me. And that's the way we are by nature. And if science comes out with their Hubble telescope and they're able to see something, prove something that somehow might get back into Ezekiel's prophecy, we'll say, there, that proves this. Baloney. We don't need that. We've got the very Word of God. Brother Chamberlain, don't get scared. I'm not going to get on you here. Hebrews chapter 11 and in verse 3. Brother Chamberlain's preaching next. He's preaching on faith. I've told him early. I've told Brother Justice. I don't know how you preach on the authority of the Word of God, the Scriptures, without talking about faith. Because if you don't believe it, it does not really matter to you personally. Notice, if you would, Hebrews chapter 11 in verse 3. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. I want you to just notice this. By the Word of God. The authority of Scripture relating to origins of all things. It does not matter what. It came into being by the Word of God. And I'm looking forward to Brother Chamberlain's message because I know it takes faith to believe that. Hebrews 11 in verse 3, by the Word of God, divine fiat. Through faith we understand that the worlds were created by a command from God, a command with authority. Keep that in mind if you would. This matter of fiat, God ordered it. He demanded it. He commanded it. It was by the Word of God. That's so important. Simply by the Word of God. Go back with me to Psalms, if you would. And in Psalms chapter 33. And again, I'm going to say as I did at the beginning of this, it seems like circular reasoning if you preach on the authority of the Scripture and then you're going to teach from the Scripture that the Bible is right and that kind of thing. You go in a circle, but it's a pretty good circle to stay in. Pretty good circle to stay in. Psalms chapter 33 and in verse 6, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made and all the host of them by the breath of His mouth. Let me stop there. All Scripture is given by inspiration. You all know, I'm sure, God breathed it out. That's why we call it the Word of God. It's the very breath of God. So stated in the New Testament, so stated here in the Old Testament, by the breath of His mouth. He gathered the waters of the sea together as an heap. He layeth up the depths in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. Why? Why should all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him? For He spake. And it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. By divine fiat, a command with the authority of Almighty God. Psalms 148. Psalms in chapter 148, beginning in verse 1. Psalms 148 and verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from heaven. Praise Him in the heights. Praise ye Him, all His angels. Praise ye Him, all ye hosts. Praise ye Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all ye stars of light. Praise Him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord. I'll ask the question again. Why? For He commanded, and they were created. Just by His command. He commanded. Let me go over to the book of 2 Peter just a moment. In the book of 2 Peter and in chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. The second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. Let me show you a paradox. Verse 3. The scoffers who shall come, and they're here, walking after their own lust. The scoffers in verse 4 will tell you it's a foolish doctrine. to believe in the coming of the Lord. They'll deny the Lord. They'll deny certainly the second coming of the Lord. And the argument that they will use, it says here, is that all things continue as they were. They'll say that on one hand, the other hand teach evolution. You put that together. You know, they'll say all things continue as they were, but they're still above. And that's the ignorance and stupidity of this. But notice in verse 4, they allow for creation. All things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. There are many different ways an individual can be ignorant, and not every way is something bad. All of us are ignorant about something. But you look at verse 5, to be willingly ignorant is the worst ignorance of all, I would think. They willingly are ignorant that it was by divine fiat that this world came into being. Let me go back to Romans in chapter 4 just a moment. Romans, and in chapter 4, in verse 17, I just want you to notice, you can read it all when you can, but I'm just going to point out here the last few words in verse 17. Our God is able to call those things which be not as though they were. Think about that. Our God, being God of all, omniscient God, is able to speak of those things that be not as though they were. When God first said, "Let there be light," there had never been any light. And He called it as if it were already. He said, "Let there be light." And there was light. By divine fiat, God is able to command things that are not. He commands them into existence. Now, that boggles my mind that God can command a thing that does not yet exist, but He can command it into existence. Maybe you'll get a glimpse of the greatness of our God. Notice Acts chapter 17, if you would. And I'm not going to take time to read all of this. Acts, and in chapter 17, you are familiar of the account when Paul was at Athens and he goes to Mars Hill, and you know about him running into these idolaters. They had God for this, a God for that, and just in case they missed one, they had one to the unknowable God. Paul said that in the latter part of verse 22, he told them, "You're too superstitious." That word superstitious means religious. Paul told these people, "You're too religious." And I can tell you this, there's some people today need to be told and convinced they're too religious. Too religious. You can't be too godly. You can be too religious. I brought you here to show you this. Verse 23. "For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.' Whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, Him declare I unto you." Now, here's a lesson for us. When Paul would teach these Athenians, these idolaters, about the true and the living God, notice in verse 24, he goes straight to the matter of creation. Straight to the matter of creation. And you think of all the other things that were at Paul's disposal that he could have preached and taught these Athenians, but the Holy Spirit moved him to creation. God that made the worlds. That's where he began. God that made the worlds and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth. He dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Let me tell you, the one who created heaven and earth is the Lord, the Master, and the God of heaven and earth. He goes a little bit further here. Verse 26. Hath made of one blood all nations of men. God created the heaven and the earth. He created all people. God is the creator of all things. When you want to talk to somebody about the Lord, here's a good place to start, with creation. With creation. You look back in Genesis chapter 1 and in verse 1. Genesis in chapter 1, everybody here can quote it. But if you've got a Bible, you ought to use it. Genesis 1 in verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That one little verse is placed at the very front of your Bible. And it's just like a flaming sword that kept the way of the Garden of Eden. If you can't get by that verse, you'll never believe anything else over here. And so many people can't even believe the first verse of the Bible. Then they want to argue with you about baptism. Well, you get by Genesis 1:1 first. Go back there first. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And Paul told us in Romans 1:20 that in God's creation, His eternal power and Godhead is made known. You'll never know His eternal power and Godhead if you don't believe the first verse of the Bible. I'm never interested in discussing anything from there on to Revelation with anyone. It does not believe the first verse. I don't have time for it. I don't have time for it. If you don't believe the first verse of the Bible, I've got some serious, serious doubts. Serious doubts about salvation. I mentioned it, I'm going to mention it one more time and not try to get on Brother Chamberlain's message. The verse in Hebrews 11:3, through faith we understand. That word understand has to do with our mind, our intellect. When God saved you, He saved you wholly, totally. He did not leave out your brain. He saved you. Have you ever read about the renewing of your mind? You know, we talk about being a new creation, but I think sometimes we forget our brains included. In regeneration, God gives us a new heart, a new spirit, and the renewing of our mind, and that's what enables us to grasp the Word of God. We believe the Scriptures because God gave us faith. And more than that, He works with our understanding, our intellect. I believe Genesis 1:1. I was not there. I didn't see it happen. I'm convinced in the beginning, whenever that was, God created the heaven and the earth. And I'm going to state again, science can't cannot ever, cannot, an impossibility, they cannot add to my faith. Neither can they take away from it. They can't change it. God gave that to me. God gave it to me. And man cannot change it. I like that song, I Know Whom I Have Believed. I like that. No, I know. You know, there's a lot of things we don't know. There's a lot of things we do know. And we know it by God-given faith. And let no one ever shake you from it. It does not matter what science says. Don't look to them for truth. If you want to know the truth of origins, let me give you a hint, and I'm through, Brother Justice. If you want to know the truth of origins, don't go to the History Channel. Don't go to National Geographic. Don't go to the Discovery Channel. Come here. Come here. Amen.